I'd like to welcome each one of you to Bowmansville Mennonite Church this morning, this very special morning when we're baptizing five young persons as they make known publicly their desire to follow Jesus. So it's a special day here. Welcome. Welcome to each one of you. Welcome to the special guests that are here today. We're glad you're here as we spend this time worshiping God and also celebrating this beautiful morning together. So would you receive this call to worship based on Psalm 33? Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything that they do. We wait in hope for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. So would you join together in worshiping our God today? I'll invite the worship team to come and lead us in a time of worship.
I'd invite the ushers to come forward at this time as we take this morning's offering. This morning is for the Pastoral Support Fund, and there's also the My Coins Count.
Oh, my soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come and worship and all your blessings you give us. And as we just lift up this offering to you, may you bless it to support our pastors and the work they do here with our church and how they just help lead us. And I pray also that we won't just stop here with this money that we give to support them, but that we will also support them with the love they need from us, the time and the prayers that they need from us as well as they lead our congregation. Just pray a blessing on this today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, I invite you to stand if you're able as we continue to worship this morning.
This is all my life. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The glory of the saved forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shining light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shining light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
To die, I scarce can take it in.
God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow
guys. Thank you so much that we can come to your house this morning to worship you. Just thank you for this morning too, Baptism Sunday, for all those that are choosing to publicly declare that they want you to lead their life. And I just pray that you bless everything that goes on here this morning. Amen.
I'd like to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, the one and only Son of God. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus, the one who has made possible the salvation of each one of our souls from the pit of hell and eternal separation from God. Well, today is a very special day here at Bowmansville as these five young persons, Clark, Cullen, Hannah, Nicole, and John, make a public declaration of their desire to follow Jesus. They'll do that this morning by being baptized with water a little bit later on in our service. Well, in spending time with these young persons in preparation for this day, my goal for them has been twofold. First of all, I desire that each one of these young persons would know without a doubt that God loves them. And I would venture to say that most of us here this morning grew up inside the walls of a church, meaning you grew up hearing and singing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Now that's absolutely fantastic. The Bible does indeed communicate to us God's great love for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But here's the problem as I see it. We can come to church Sunday after Sunday. We can sit in worship services. We can sing songs about God's love for us. We can hear teaching and preaching about God's love for us, and that's great. We need to hear that message over and over and over again. But isn't there a difference between learning something, having head knowledge, and really believing in your heart of hearts? Most of us have a difficult time truly understanding the depth of God's love for us as individuals. And there may be many reasons for that. And the reality is we probably will never completely, totally understand the depth of God's love for us here on this earth. But I ask the question today, what is God looking for from me in response to his great love for me? What is God looking for from you in response to his great love for you? In Mark 12, 28 to 34, which I'm going to read in a minute, and the context here is that the religious leaders were asking Jesus questions in an attempt to trap him. They had asked him previously about paying taxes. They had asked him about the resurrection. And the replies that he gave simply amazed everyone. And it silenced them. And then we read this in Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus has given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. We need to understand that by this time, the Jews had accumulated hundreds of religious laws. Some Bible scholars say there were 613 laws to try to keep. Some of the religious leaders tried to distinguish between major laws and minor laws. And others taught that all the laws were equally binding, and it was very dangerous to try and make any distinctions. So when Jesus is confronted with this question of which is the most important, everyone is all ears. Some were hoping that he would reinforce their belief that some laws were more important than others, and others were hoping that he would say all the laws were equally important. But Jesus does it again with his wise answer as he reduces all the laws to two simple principles: love God and love others. Jesus was communicating to this group of religious leaders that when you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled the Ten Commandments and all 613 other religious laws of that day. So my prayer for everyone here this morning, and especially these five young persons receiving water baptism today, is what Paul's prayer is for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I pray that we can grasp hold of how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is for us. So that we can know this love in our hearts. This love that surpasses all knowledge. 1 John 3:1a says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." God lavishes His love on us. In a few short months, it's going to be strawberry season here in Lancaster County. I love strawberries. These aren't from Lancaster County, by the way. But I love strawberries. I also like a little bit of whipped cream on my strawberries. To me, that's pretty, well, see, some people lavish their strawberries. Some people love their strawberries lavished in whipped cream. This is an example of how God lavishes His love on us. He loves us incredibly, and He lavishes His love on us. Have you ever experienced, have you ever personally experienced God lavishing His love on you? It's an incredibly amazing experience. And when you get a taste of that, just like you get a taste of this, you want more. You want more. So I would encourage you to ask God to lavish His love upon you. When you experience that lavish love that God has for you, when you personally experience that in your heart, there's only one way to respond. We love Him because He first loved us. We love God, we love each other. When we open our hearts to receive God's lavishing love, a fire is ignited in our hearts. A fire and a love for God. We can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we can love others as well. Now, back to my original question. What is God looking for from me and you in response to His great love for us? He's looking for us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, there's this little four-letter word that is used three times in Mark 12, verses 29 and 30. And that little four-letter word is this: Lord. On Palm Sunday, Pastor Jesse Yoder would have mentioned that everyone really wants Jesus to be their Savior. Everybody wants to escape eternal death in the lake of fire and eternal separation from God. But when it comes to Jesus being our Lord, maybe there's some reluctance to allow Jesus to actually have authority, have influence, and have power in our life. I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe that there's an epidemic in the American church here today in the United States, and it is called lukewarmness and half-heartedness. God doesn't want your leftovers. Listen to what John wrote to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, 15 to 18. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. God doesn't want your leftovers. I recently read a book. It's called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And in that book, he spends a whole chapter on what he describes as a profile of the lukewarm. It was very sobering reading. So allow me to share just a bit of what Francis Chan wrote. Francis Chan wrote, and I quote, "Lukewarm people attend church fairly regularly. It is what is expected of them. What they believe good Christians do, so they go," unquote. Isaiah 29:13 says, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." God doesn't want your leftovers. Again, quoting Francis Chan, "Lukewarm people give money to charity and to the church as long as it doesn't impinge on their standard of living. If they have a little extra and it's easy and safe to give, they do so. After all, God loves a cheerful giver, right?" Unquote. Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. "As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty and put in all that she had to live on." God doesn't want your leftovers. Again, quoting Francis Chan, "Lukewarm people probably drink and swear less than average. But besides that, they really aren't very different from your typical unbeliever. They equate their partially sanitized lives with holiness, but they couldn't be further from the wrong." Unquote. Matthew 23, verses 25 to 28. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." God doesn't want your leftovers. Francis Chan has much more to say in his profile of the lukewarm, but I think you get the picture. We all must do an honest evaluation of our spiritual lives, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, to see if we are in the faith. The truth is that we all are messed up. We're all messed up human beings. And no one is totally immune to the behaviors that Francis Chan describes as lukewarm. However, I believe there is a huge difference between a life that is characterized by these sorts of thinking patterns and habits and a life that is in the process of being radically transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want your leftovers. What I'm talking about this morning has nothing to do with trying to do better. And it has everything to do with how much I love Jesus. God's love for us is an everlasting love. It's what Jeremiah 31:3 says. An everlasting love that has no conditions. As we turn and face God, as we begin to understand more and more of how much He loves us, as we begin to really believe that He loves us, as we see His love lavished on us, we can express our love to God. How do you do that? How do you express your love to God? How about telling Him? Telling Him, I love you, God. Ask Him to continue to change and to transform you. And He'll do it. Why? Why will He do that? Because He doesn't want your leftovers. God's definition of what really matters is pretty straightforward. He measures our lives by how we love. First, our love and devotion to Him, and secondly, how we love others. But what is our definition? What is our definition of love? That word love gets tossed around pretty flippantly in our society today. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, commonly known as the love chapter, tells us that love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong, etc. Now, we can read that love chapter, and maybe it can become pretty familiar. Maybe it can become stale. Maybe our lives can be dulled. But I challenge you this morning to do a little exercise with this 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Substitute your name in this chapter. For example, Larry is patient. Larry is kind. Larry does not envy. Larry does not boast. Larry is not rude. Larry is not self-seeking. Larry is not easily angered. Larry keeps no record of wrongs. By the end of that exercise, don't you feel like a liar? If we are to represent God's love, then I don't know about you, but I know that I fail often. I'm convinced that following God isn't something that we can do half-heartedly or on the side. Following Jesus must be a lifestyle that affects every area of our lives. And that's the other thing I would like these five young persons to understand. First of all, God's love for them, and also that following Jesus is a lifestyle that you live out every day of your life. If life is like a river, wow, jumped all over the place there. If life is like a river, then pursuing God requires that we swim upstream. And if we stop swimming or actively following and pursuing God, then we automatically begin to drift. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to communicate this morning. We are not saved by any amount of what we do. Salvation is a free gift from God, given to us on His awesome grace. But as James 2:17 tells us, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And like the saying goes, if you were arrested for being a Christ follower, would there be enough evidence to convict you? God doesn't want your leftovers. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the way you lavish your love upon us. And I just pray this morning, as we proceed with this baptism, I pray that you would be honored and glorified today. And I pray that these five young persons that are being baptized today would experience your presence, your power in their lives to live lives that are pleasing to you. So we ask for your blessing as we proceed with the baptism this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We transition into the baptism this morning. I'd like to invite these five young persons to come and stand before the congregation. And Dwayne Weaver is going to introduce these persons to you so you have an idea of who these people are.
Okay. To my left is Hannah Whitmer, the daughter of Tony and Teresa Whitmer. She attends Garden Spot Middle School, and her hobbies are drawing, babysitting, and reading. Wow. Her favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And her favorite song is Hills and Valleys. And something unique about her is that she loves animals. Colin Whitmer is also the son of Tony and Teresa Whitmer, and he attends Hinkletown Mennonite School. His interests are hunting, fishing, and football. And his favorite Bible verse is John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Clark Brubacher, the son of Keith and Rhonda Brubacher, also attends Hinkletown Mennonite School. His interests and hobbies are sports, woodworking, fishing, golfing, and hockey. And his favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And his favorite song is "Set It on Fire." And I looked that up this morning, and I like that song too. And something unique about Clark is that he can run a mini excavator very smoothly. And he was a top 10 out of 40 all-star in golfing Nicole Ringler is the daughter of Rick and Anita Ringler, and she also attends Singletown Mennonite School. And her interests are coloring, ice skating, and reading. Her favorite Bible verse is Luke 1:37, "For nothing is impossible with God." And her favorite song is "My Prayer for You" by Alyssa Turner, and I also looked that up, and I like that one too. Something unique about her is that she can play piano, and I'm looking forward to hearing that sometime. And John Knoll is the grandson of Dixie and Bob Becker, and he attends Kekalico High School. And his interests are that he wants to become an auto mechanic. And his favorite Bible verse is also John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." His favorite songs are "O Come to the Altar" and "No Longer a Slave." And I didn't have to look them up, I knew them. And something unique about him is that he's talented and he would like to meet a lot of new people in this congregation.
So as we transition into this time of baptism, I'm going to ask these individuals some questions, and these questions will be on the screen so you can yourself think about these questions and reaffirm your own individual faith in God. So is it your own personal desire and decision to be counted a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a member of his church and to fellowship here at Bowmansville? Can you answer it is?
It is.
It is.
It is.
It is.
It is.
Do you believe in the one true God who is known to us as God the Father, creator of all things visible and invisible, as Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, who by his death on the cross made atonement for our sin, and by his resurrection has brought us into eternal life, as the Holy Spirit who is our abiding comforter and guide into all truth? Can you answer, I do?
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Are you sorry for your past sin and rebellion? Are you willing to lay aside all known evil from your life and to submit yourself in obedience to Jesus and his word? Can you answer, I am?
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
And do you promise by the grace of God that you will be a sharing and submissive member of the family of God, share as a true brother or sister in the fortunes and or misfortunes of the people of God, and willingly share your God-given talents in service to Jesus and his church? Can you answer, I will?
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
Thank you. Now I'd like to introduce to you Dixie and Bob Becker from Marietta Community Chapel. Today they are wishing to transfer their membership here to Bowmansville. I received a letter of recommendation from the pastor at Marietta Community Chapel. He's recommending them to become members here without any reservations. So we are going to be receiving them today as members, and they are the grandparents of John. So just as a way to identify them a little bit. And now to you, the congregation. Are you willing to receive these persons into the fellowship of this congregation? Do you promise by the grace of God to receive them in love, to encourage them in their walk with the Lord, and to give them faithful counsel and uphold them in your prayer? So you as a congregation, would you please stand? Let's pray. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these persons who are desiring to be baptized. Thank you for Dixie and Bob and desiring to transfer their membership here at Bowmansville. And we ask that as we receive them today as members of our congregation, I ask, Father God, that we would be able to receive them in love, embrace them, and to care for them as we care for one another. So we just ask for your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. You all can be seated. So as we move into the baptism, I'd just like to call your attention to these baptismal vases that are here on the table. These vases contain the water with which these individuals will be baptized this morning. And so after the baptism today, they can take these home with them and keep them somewhere where they can be reminded of this special day when they were baptized today in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And these vases have their names on with today's date so they can remember the date of when they were baptized. So let's proceed with the baptism. Nicole, would you come forward to be baptized? And Rick and Anita, would you come as well? Nicole, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nicole, arise and walk in the newness of life that Jesus Christ has purchased for you on the cross of Calvary, and walk in that new life when he was raised from the dead. Same life is living in you. God bless you. Hannah and Tony and Teresa, would you come? Hannah, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hannah, arise and walk in that new life that Jesus purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. God bless you. And Cullen, would you come? Cullen, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cullen, arise and walk in the newness of life that Jesus Christ purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. God bless you. Clark, would you come? And Keith and Rhonda. Clark, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Clark, arise and walk in the newness of life that God has purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. God bless you. John, would you come? And Bob and Dixie is his grandparents. John, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John, arise and walk in the newness of life that Jesus Christ has purchased for you in the cross of Calvary. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, today, after the service is over, these persons, these five young people and Dixie and Bob will be up here. Please come forward and greet you. John has expressed that he would like to meet many of you in the congregation. So come and welcome them into our fellowship this morning. So would the worship team come and lead us in a closing song? Amazing grace. The only reason we can come to God is by His precious grace that He extends to each one of us. So God bless each one of you young persons this morning, Clark, Cullen, Hannah, Nicole, and John. God bless you as you've identified today that you want to be identified with the followers of Jesus Christ. So God bless you as you go forward from this day. Don't forget to take your baptismal vases and also your certificate of baptism along with you this morning as you leave. And also, just a reminder to come and to greet these persons this morning after the service. They'll be waiting up here to receive your blessing and greeting from you. So would you stand to receive this benediction from Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord is make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace.